I believe it's so that we can awaken to the truth that all of us have that ability if we will just quiet ourselves down. And I've learned over the years that many things pull me away from him. Busy myself in learning and busy myself in this and that, rather than focusing on him and letting him perform what I need. But I was pressed to take out a couple of words that came to the body of Christ, and I just want you to close your eyes and receive these words. You are a chosen people for such a time as this. Step out, run out, run out, run out to the streets, for now is the time to be in me. Be intimate with me, and I will release in you at this time all that is meant for you. No vessel anointed for this time will be overlooked. You cannot escape it. You cannot deny it, for I have anointed and appointed you for such a time as this. Continue to flow with my spirit. Continue to flow with my spirit, and I will take you above to a higher level in me, to that holy place of worship known only by my chosen few. And you have been chosen to fulfill my needs here on earth. I can only work through a willing vessel. So open your hearts to receive. Receive, receive my breath of life. Water your mind with my living water. Therefore, renew your mind with my option of you and my opinion of you. My opinion of you. Receive comfort from the Holy Spirit inside of you and will strengthen and carry you through anything that will be facing you in the days to come. Those words came 2 weeks in a row in May. And the Holy Spirit said, bring them back. They need to be implemented. And as I was searching for the heart of the Lord, I want to recall you to what God provided on Tuesday night. Don Norrie Sr. will be in Rock Road Chapel on Thursday, October 28th at 7, and on Friday, October 29th at 2 and at 7. And in my searching for the Lord, I located a book from Pastor Kelly Varner, who, by the way, did sign this copy for me. And there's a foreword in it by Don Norrie, who will be in New York State just in a few weeks. So I thought, okay, Lord, what are you trying to do? And he says, read the foreword written by this man that will be a guest at Pastor Jay's church and get a clue. And guess what? What year do you think it is? Linda? The foreword. Actually, the book is from 2002, but the foreword is written in 1992, the year your husband got the dream. And I was very excited. Listen carefully. When you say God is already prepared, now the reason we're in this building is because her husband, in 1992, had a dream. And he wrote, or actually recorded his dream. He didn't write it down. Linda did. And she found it about, what, 8 months after he passed? Something like that. And we had just lost another lady that used to be a part of Grace Church. And we had the funeral about 2 or 3 weeks before. And she comes up to me and she says, Kim, she says, I found this cassette that my husband did of a dream he had in 1992. What was so strange about 1992? Maybe God was trying to wake up some people and included us in it. I'm not going to give you the dream, but I will tell you that's the reason we're here. Because it was the dream that confirmed this very building, this street. And the timing was so intense. Because in that dream, there were four people. Linda, myself, Chuck, and this other lady. And in the dream, they were praying for us, and we were praying for them.
They were on the other side of the curtain, and we're on this side. So that should give you a clue how God is so intense in what he does and why he does what he does. 1992, the Lord spoke a clear word to me. This is Don Norrie speaking about this particular book by Kelly Varner. The name of the book is Corporate Anointing. I am about to wrestle control of the church out of the hands of the arrogant and the insecure men. I will return it into the hands of my son, who alone knows how to build his church. Did you hear that? Say, Jesus is going to take the controls out of the hands of arrogant and insecure men. And he will return it to himself, who alone knows how to build the church. It's his church. The next level is, these were sobering words indeed, but he was not through. Whatever I am toppling, do not attempt to prop up. What I am about to do is much bigger than one man. It is much weightier than one man can carry. I want a body in whom I can rest. Isn't that cool? We are just beginning to see the fulfillment of these words today. The next few years will be times of incredible change, unparalleled opportunity to experience his presence and his corporate anointing like never before in history. We will be challenged to the core of our traditions and pushed to the far reaches of our faith. He will clear our hearts and our motives until we can truly see unity as all of his people gathered unto him. And not only our individual doctrinal beliefs for what God is about to do is bigger than our doctrines. It is bigger than truth. It is bigger than our doctrines. I'm sorry. It is not bigger than truth, but it is bigger than our doctrines. In this anointing, the plans of carnal man are consumed in the breath of his spirit. Here's man's ego and personal ambitions are consumed by the devouring fire of Isaiah 33:14. Why do you think the fire came? To confirm this message. And all that remains is the brokenness of man's yieldedness to his purpose in the earth. In this dimension of his glory, men dare not interject opinions or objections. They neither vie for attention nor feel rejection at his silence. The Lord may do what he wants, what he wants, with whom he wants, in the setting he wants. Those yielded to this anointing can only rejoice that his glory is displayed in the earth. Whether or not the Lord happens to use them at that moment, his glory is the principal thing. For the passion of the corporate anointing is his glory. It is only the corporate anointing that will bring his glory to the earth. Renewal and revival have begun in a tremendous way. The Lord is breaking down dividing walls for a specific purpose. The walls between denominations, ethnic groups, nations, genders, races, all walls that must come down for his glory to flow freely throughout the earth. But the formidable religious walls between clergy and laity must also come down for the fullness of the Lord Jesus to be seen in the earth. The corporate anointing is the fullest expression of Jesus Christ. This is the Christ that the nations will run to. This is the Christ that will be a light to the nations and that will carry the good news to the four corners of the earth. The corporate anointing of the Lord has the uniqueness to show the world the glory of an invisible God through a body. With every part working in such a unison that the glory of the anointing outshines the ego of man. But this anointing also has the ability to recognize the importance and value of the individual without disrupting the display of his presence in the many-membered expression of the Lord Jesus. Only God can accomplish such a thing, and he will, through simple folks like you. And I, whom have no other desire or passion but to see him and to experience the full salvation of the Lord. This book is the first major prophetic work that describes the function and power of the Anointed One, the mighty Lord of hosts among his people. It is where we must go if we are to continue to follow or flow in all that God is giving us today. The corporate anointing in us, but it begins with me. Oh God, open my heart. Revive me, not just to revelation, but to change. Do not just illumine your word, but write it on my heart, that I may become what I believe, and that I may be one of many who will carry your glory in the corporate anointing. If you mean business and you want to join me to go a little deeper, I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand. Say, Lord Jesus, this corporate anointing is us. And it begins with me. Oh God, open my heart. Revive me. Not just a revelation, but to change. Do not just illumine your word, but write it on my heart, that I may become what I believe, and that I may be one of many who will carry your glory in the corporate anointing. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. Not for me, but for the well-being of the church that's being formed. How does that sit in your heart? Doesn't give you much room for the self, is it? Hardly no room for self, but a lot of room for him. He gave me another nudge to go to a particular page in another one of his books. Now, Kelly came into my life in 1989. And I had my mother with me on one side, and I had Juliet on the other side, and I was in Marshall, Texas, for the Feast of Tabernacles. And I'll never forget that night, because I had never known Kelly. I knew one of his senior heads, whom happened to be a spiritual father to me. And that's the reason I was there, because he had asked us to join him there for the feast. So this is September or October of 89, I don't remember which, because the feast comes in different time slots. Anyway, all of a sudden, there's an anointing that comes on the musicians. We're in a huge auditorium with a big stage, and there's an orchestra pit. And you know, they're kind of lower down, so you can't really see them. Now you got to remember, Kelly is a big man, and he looks like a big teddy bear. Of course, he's home with Jesus now, but that's another story. But that's when I first heard him. He was playing the trumpet. He was an awesome musician. He gave up a full scholarship to become, believe it or not, an opera star. He had an opera voice. Unbelievable. All of a sudden, the anointing of the orchestra had kind of flowed into a mellow space. And a song of the Lord came out of this man. And I got hit on both sides. I got hit by one side, and I got hit on the other side. One was Juliet's arm, and the other was my mother's arm. And we listened to a man who was actually doing the word of the Lord in song. It came out in tongues, and then it rolled out in English, and all I did was cry. Because, you see, that was the first time I ever heard anybody do what God had called me to do, and that I did many, many times. I don't know the numbers. I don't want to know the numbers. It was Him working through me, but I had never seen anybody else do it. And I had already been under that anointing from 1979. God baptized me in the Holy Ghost in 77, and I began to do that in the natural and in the spirit at home. But then the Holy Ghost began to use me in different places for His glory. And I'm not advertising me, I'm just trying to tell you, you'll find a duplicate of yourself when you least expect it. Did you hear it? You will find a duplicate of yourself when you least expect it. There are many membered bodies. How many know there's a left thumb and there's a right thumb? And that's what I saw that night. My mother and I cried all the way home. Because she said how many times that the anointing would come on me and I would fight it. That was the first time I became comfortable with the gift. Because somebody else had showed up. That was a thumb. And now I wasn't uncomfortable about being a thumb. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, there's a twin of me. Somewhere in the body. So whatever I am, I have a duplicate somewhere. And I will find that person someday. Until then, I'll obey. Amen? Do you understand what I'm doing? Do you have two shoulders? How many ribs you got? Yeah. You catching on? Two hips? Two feet? Two knees? Got it? Two eyes? Get a clue. All right? What am I saying? You're not unique, but you are in a sense. And it's hard sometimes when you think, oh my God, I'm the only one that has to do what God is calling me to do. And I just don't find it too comfortable. I'm telling you something. I'm trying to awaken to you that the body of Christ is a corporate body. Here's the word of the Lord to you. And it's coming in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 15:26. Again, Zion was the final stronghold for David and his army. The last enemy for the overcoming church. David's seed to conquer is death. 1 Corinthians 15:26. This truth was the major theme of the previous chapter. One among a thousand. In the New Testament, the significance of Zion is twofold. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's the church of the living Jesus. To the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, Hebrews 12, verses 22 and 23. First Zion designates the church as a whole. The verses above underscore the weaknesses of the dispensationalism, which interprets the New Testament in the light of the Old Testament, rather than to explain the Old Testament in the light of the New. Zion is neither the natural Israel nor the natural Jew only. Zion is the church made up of both Jews and Greeks in one body by the cross, Ephesians 2, 11, and 12, 11 through 22. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. And I am set down with my Father in his throne, Revelations 3:21. Second, Zion designates the corporate overcomer within the church, him that overcometh. Do you recognize the corporate number here? Do you understand the same thing that I'm trying to tell you that this other book is about? This one's the same thing. Revelations 2, verse 3. Zion designates the corporate overcomer within the church. Not on their own, doing their own thing. Got it? Not soldiers that have gone AWOL. And that may not be nice for those who listen to this message. But I'm telling you the truth. You need to be in the body of Christ. I don't know of any doctor who severs a toe on a person that has a problem with a toe and keeps it for posterity. It will not live. Amen? They bury it and it discomposes. And people think they could be Christians on their own. It won't work. Thus, Zion constitutes the highest order, the high calling, Philippians 3, 12 and 14, of those who are destined to rule and reign with Jesus, the most holy place people. Zion represents the throne of God, typified by the Ark of the Covenant. The Old Testament word for throne means the seat of honor, Genesis 41, 40. 1 Kings 10, verses 18 through 20. The Greek word is similarly rendered as the seat of authority, Hebrews 4, 16. Moreover, the book of Revelation says much about Zion's throne. The overcomer sits on Christ's throne, Revelation 3, 21. The man-child company rules the nations from the throne of God, Revelation 12, 5. Remember I gave you Revelations 14 twice already? Here it goes. The 144,000 reign with the Lamb from Mount Zion. Revelations 14, 1. From Mount Zion. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Revelation 7, 9. Not every Christian will rule and reign with him in Zion. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. Multitudes are serving the Lord with the light, understanding that they have. They stand before the throne and no man can number them. But the overcoming company in Zion is granted the honor of sitting with the Lamb in his throne. Revelations again, 3:21. The corporate Christ is what he's talking about. The corporate anointing is not going to come on those who are fly by nights. And I know that's not a very pleasant word, but I'd rather give you the truth than lie to you, because then God's going to be on my case. I'd rather have the Holy Ghost on your case. Amen. Got it? It's cut and dry. If you do it on your own, God bless you. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I am telling you what the Word of God tells you to do. Do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Why? Because you need each other. Could it be that some of those who weep before the throne, Revelation 7, 17, are doing so because they were called to sit in the throne? Many who refuse to pay the price will end up with a saved soul and a lost life. That's your message, girl. It's the same message over and over for this feast. As God burns up the wood, the hay, and the stubble of their unwise choices. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 and 15. They won't go to hell, but it will be hellish to look at the Lamb's throne and behold where they should have been with him and what they could have been in him. It's serious business to celebrate the feast. It's because it's a time to wake you up to a higher calling. Finally, the significance of Zion is seen in these key verses from the book of Psalms. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king, who was David and now is Jesus. Psalms 48, verses 1 and 2. Thou shalt arise and have mercy. to love deeply with compassion upon Zion, for the time to favor her, did you hear? To bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior, or to be gracious, pit to bestow. Yea, the set time is come. Psalm 102, verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation, which is his seat. This is my rest, resting place. This pictures a finished people and a finished work. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Psalms 132, 13 and 14. I could give you a lot more. But the Lord said to me, I want you to take them to Romans chapter 8. So that's where we're going to go. Very briefly, Romans chapter 8. And then I'll release you to digest some of this stuff. Because I'll tell you, it's not a pleasant message to give, but I'd rather give it to you than roll over in that burning fire. Getting a clue? Anybody like roasting? I don't mind roasting the lamb, but I don't like to be roasting me. I don't want to be rolled over the coals and say, oh God, you could have told them, Kim, you could have told them. And I was sharing with some friends earlier, a very dear young man that I love to pieces just went home to be with the Lord a week ago. He was called to an incredible position in God. But he chose to have a pity party. And that pity party lasted about 20 years. I believe he's probably going to be one of those that's going to be crying from the bottom, looking up. And my prayer is that I don't back down and go to a pity party like he did. I don't want to join him. I want to be where God has designed me to put me, where he already prepared a place. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 8, verses 22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Who is the Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches out our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. I want to rest with that. You have received the Holy Spirit. You have him within you. And my old pastor would say, Kim, you've developed your muscles, you've kept yourself healthy, now develop your spirit. He taught me a song, he pounded it into me. You know what it is? Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you'll see Jesus. Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, you'll see the King. Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you will find him. He's resurrected in his body. He lives in me. Would you stand, please? Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you'll see Jesus. Sing with me. Walk in the Spirit of the Lord,
You'll see the King walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you will find Him. He's resurrected in His body. He lives in us. He lives in us.
Do it again.
Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you'll see Jesus.
Walk in the Spirit.
Walk in the Spirit of the Lord. You'll see the King. You'll see the King. Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you will find Him. And you will find Him. He's resurrected in His body. He lives in me. He lives in me.
And now may His anointing take you home safely. As you ponder on these words, that the Holy Spirit wants you to be a part of the body more than anything else. He wants you so connected that no surgeon will be able to cut you off, even if you're a little toe that's not feeling too good. May the anointing of His Spirit bless you and strengthen you. As the Holy Spirit prays through you for the things that you do not understand or do not comprehend, and let Jesus heal your hearts. Because that's what He wants. He's a pro. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Share some hugs with each other. It's all I got.